Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NYBS Radio Show, home of the New York Bigfoot Society.
What's up, Footer Nation? Gary Hootenhala here, and welcome to another episode of NYBS Radio Show right here from the great state of New York. I'm going to bring my boy Kenny in, the one and only. What's
up,
going
Footer
on,
Nation?
Kenny?
Hootenhala here.
Hey, you there?
I'm here. What's going on?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was getting an echo there. I am here.
Oh, geez. What's going on? How was your week, my man?
Fantastic. Yours?
Busy as always. It was nice to get out in the woods all weekend, get some snowshoeing in, get some mountain miles in, and now we're back to civilization, which is thumbs down. But
yeah,
that was a good week.
I saw the pictures. It looked like you and your lady went out, but you never told anybody where you were going.
Yeah, I ended up going up to Whiteface. You know, we were trying to hit up another summit, and unfortunately that day we weren't able to summit, but we still got a lot of miles in. We had to break trail. They got a foot of fresh powder up there, and then it just turned into kind of a show, you know what I mean? But we got done. We ended up hitting up Esther.
Summited
Esther for the second time over the winter, so we're there for two. And we'll be back up the Whiteface soon enough. You know, it's just, you know, just one of those days that we got mountain miles in, and that's all that matters, a day out in the fresh snow, enjoying the mountains.
Awesome. Awesome.
But
happy.
Yeah, so it's been a great week. So, all right, so Ken, what have we been up to lately? So, what do we have going on? I know there's been a lot of ups and downs right now, and let's kind of just go over it real quick so everybody understands.
Yeah, so we had a couple of events scheduled that unfortunately, due to circumstances that were kind of out of our control. We had to cancel. So I was supposed to be at the Rochester Winter Parafest this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and unfortunately I had to bow out, so I won't be there. And then this Monday, March 2nd, Gary and myself, we were supposed to be guests on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, but again, due to the same circumstances that we're completely out of our control, we had to cancel. We will be rescheduling that show in the near future, so definitely stay tuned looking for that. Other than that, we do have other events that we're going to be at coming up in the near future.
Yep. So, you know, we're super busy. So even though we're not going to be on, you know, within the next couple of weeks out in the public eye and the radio shows and stuff, we still have multiple other radio shows that we are going to be guest on and talking all things Bigfoot. You know, it's a little bit of a setback, but, you know, it's no big deal. You know what I mean? Like I say, everything works out the way it's supposed to. The main thing is, you know, like I say, we're boots on the ground, out in the field, doing the work. Kenny's been very hard doing the author thing and with books and things like that. And meanwhile, I've been out in the woods, you know, nonstop looking for evidence and things. So we've been busy. So even though we may have that little bit of a setback, we've been super busy. So it's always a good time. You know what I mean? It's still always a good time.
It is. We do have a radio show that Gary and I are going to be guests on March 11th. It's Bigfoot Quest Radio. You can go to either the NYBS Facebook page and get the information on it, or you can go to my site, kwirish.com, just under the events, and that's got all the information there, as well as the other radio shows Gary and myself will be on and upcoming events that we'll be at.
Yep, so we have a lot going on. It's coming into springtime, which is our favorite time of year because finally it's research season. Like I say, I've been out a little bit in the winter. I usually start in February, so supposedly in our areas, the way it works is they should be starting to rev up a little bit. So I've been out there, you know, trying to look for the tracks. I have a whole new area within one of our research areas that I think I'm starting to narrow down a little bit, which this is exciting news for us as our team because, you know, if we're starting to narrow down an area where we think the activity may be, you know, more prominent, closer to a territory area, which I think I've finally have slowly narrowed it down, which took years to do. I think this could be awesome. So we'll see. We're going to employ some new ideas, new theories, and see if we can now, you know, get some different responses. So, it's going to be a great season. So I'm super stoked.
Absolutely.
All right, Ken. So this is our – yeah, exactly. So this is our rant time. So one of the things that we like to do is called almost like the Joe Rogan rant. So what we do is we just pick a subject weekly and – well, bi-weekly, but here we are back-to-back weeks. And we just start talking about it. And this week's rant, like, you know, one thing I'm starting to see in a lot of these Bigfoot community pages is so many Bigfoot people arguing amongst each other, like a lot of negativity. You know, one person posts one thing saying like, oh, here's a picture of a Squatch. Do you see it? And it's a blurry picture. And I, you know, we talk about blurry pictures all the time with the red circles and we're just like, please don't post them. Please. It doesn't do anybody justice. But here they are, you know, people post those pictures and then they're getting, you know, negative feedback from it. And then it turns into a heated debate. I mean, Ken, you see that all the time, don't you?
Yeah, well, the funniest thing is there'll be two people that you can see are really, really passionate about the subject, but yet they've got two different theories, two different logics, if you will, in their mind. So one of them will post a theory up or ask a question or even a picture, and another one will question it, and because that person's questioning it or asking questions, the person that originally posted the picture is now calling that person, you know, saying, well, you're a non-believer, you're a troll, you need to get off this page, this and that. And it's sad, but at the same time, I got to sit back and laugh because it's like these two people that, you know, are so passionate about this subject are now calling each other non-believers because they're not agreeing on something. The worst part about it is from there, they'll get really nasty with each other, and it's like not one of them has proven or brought total, complete, definitive proof or fact to the table that Sasquatches even exist, but yet they're sitting there tearing each other apart, and it's just it's sad, but yet it's funny at the same time because again, it's just, you know, everybody, you know, calls themselves the expert, and the second somebody questions anything, you know, they become a troll or they're a non-believer, and you know, there's the new category now called the knower, which is a step above the believer, I guess, and you know, so they're button heads, and you know, instead of just, you know, scrolling on by if you don't agree or whatever, you know, people are just really, really getting into it, and it's actually kind of comical at times. I mean, there's, you know, I sent Gary a meme of some guy, you know, on his phone, and it says, you know, this is me at 3 a.m. in the morning watching two perfect strangers I don't know arguing on Facebook. And it's sad that it's unfortunately gotten to this point, but, you know, we just have to, if somebody says something's fake, well, then move on, you know. And if you do see something that's completely fake or it has been brought to light that it is a hoax and somebody brings that to your attention, well, you know what, accept it. Don't act like, you know, everybody's wrong and you're right. And, you know, we're all here to try to get answers, try to get evidence. And, you know, there's subjective evidence. There's stuff that, you know, suggests that, yes, there is a creature out there, and then there's no evidence, and then there's definitive evidence. You know, you got to figure out exactly what you're posting and what you've got and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, people just have to learn to agree to disagree, and it just seems like no one can really do that in this field in a lot of ways. Like, I was on a page yesterday, and the guy's like, well, I know Bigfoot is real for a fact. And then one person, and then everybody's putting up question marks, like, well, where's your proof? You know what I mean? Like, listen, I'm the first one to tell you, if you have definitive proof, I'll be like, high five. You know what I mean? But as a Bigfoot researcher myself, I'm still skeptic in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? This, our team is skeptical. Yes, we go out there. Yes, we have all this stuff happen. I don't have a body in captivity, and I don't have one that I'm basically studying. So until we have that, you know, smoking gun per se, it's all theories. And this one guy,
you know, this
commented. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say this is the way. I try to explain it sometimes. Like, I personally believe in God. I'm a Christian. I've never seen God. I've seen evidence that suggests that there's a God. But at the same time, every pastor, every priest, every ordained minister, I don't believe everything they say. I have to be skeptical. Nope. I have to be a skeptic. And it's the same thing, yep, with any subject. Just like with Bigfoot. I mean, I don't believe in Bigfoot. It's more or less, I don't necessarily believe in this person's picture or their theory. There's a big difference.
Exactly. Exactly. And you and I, because we're in this field, and, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, over 10 years now. And once I did the TV shows and America's Book of Secrets and, you know, Paranatural, I was getting all sorts of pictures sent to me after I was on those shows. And I hate to say it, like, inside, I'm like, I'm sorry, this is not what you're seeing. But, you know, if you want to believe it, I'm not going to change your mind. I'm not even trying. I'm not even going to get involved in that conversation. But what I am going to say is, listen, you got to look at it from all sides. And, you know, you have to be open-minded. You can't just be like, well, this is what it is and blah, blah, blah. Unless you have that definitive proof, you need that smoking gun. So, but, you know, people, listen, if you're going to post pictures, you're going to post audio sounds, you know what I mean? Like, I hear a lot of audio sounds, and guess what they are? I'm like, yo, Kenny, what is this? He goes, well, like, it's a barred owl. The owls sound they make crazy sounds in the woods. And right off the bat, I hear it. I'm like, Kenny, it's an owl. So what do? I send Kenny clips of owls, and he goes, wow, that sounds exactly what I'm hearing. I mean, it's that simple.
It was making a whooping type of noise, and that's the noise that the owl made. And again, I mean, you know, it comes down to, you know, we do what we do. We're skeptics. We do what we do because we want to find answers, because not necessarily that we want to believe, but we want to know. And, you know, it's definitely a big difference. And to me, the evidence that I've seen suggests that there is something. I don't know exactly what it is, but there's enough evidence there to suggest that there is something going on, and that's why we're going out, and that's why we do what we do.
Exactly, exactly. So when you post things up, people, you know, if people just don't agree with you, then don't go at them. You know what I mean? They have the right to their own opinion too. You know what I mean? Skeptics, believers, we're all trying to get the same answer. I mean, at the end of the day, we want the same answer. Skeptics, if you show them proof, and I'm friends with some really big-time skeptics in the field, if you show them proof, they will be like, okay, you were right. You know, until then, you know, we just have to keep doing the work. So let's all get along. You know, there's no reason to be negative. It's just too negative. But with that said, that was our rant for the day, and I'm sure some of the people listening, you can all understand, like, that's where we're coming from, because a lot of you are all, you know, noticing the same thing. So we're going to bring Diane back. Now, last week we had Diane on. She's from Dutchess County, Southern New York. We're talking about a lot of her findings. If you're watching the show, you're going to see a slideshow. In that slideshow is the things that Diane has found throughout her, you know, research and things like that, and, you know, what they kind of do. So we're going to bring Diane in and Mike in, and we're going to talk to them once again because there's so much to talk to, and we have a half hour to talk all things Bigfoot with them. What's going on, Diane and Mike? How are you today?
Hi, Gary. Doing good. I was just
awesome.
At the at my research site on Sunday, and I noticed, I sent you, it's in one of the pictures, there was a circle of acorns, just acorn
Yep,
tops.
I saw that.
And
now, was that, did you find that?
Yeah. Yeah, they were all there. They weren't there before, and the white rock was next to it. I remember I was saying that for some reason, whenever they have any kind of rock sack or any area where they put different objects, there's always a white rock. I'm not sure what
yep.
that means, but it must have some kind of meaning. And I was, you know, it was curious that all the acorns were with the tops up in the circle of them, but there was one in front of it that was upside down. So I don't know if that meant anything. I feel there's meaning in everything
okay.
they do.
Okay.
But,
what would you think? You know, I'm looking at the picture right now, and there is the one that's upside down. What would you think? Like, what would that mean? What do you think? Like, what would you theorize on that?
Well, a lot of people comment when they see rocks, like piles of rocks. That's how many of them there are in their clan.
Okay.
So maybe that's all of them, and the one upside down is me.
I mean, that would be a great way to. What do you think, Mike?
I don't know. I think that they communicate sometimes, like in this way, and it could mean a direction.
Okay. Have you guys seen things
like this
before?
Yeah. All the time. I mean, I've mostly seen, she's the one that, you know, started this whole rock stack and everything. And it was like what you were saying during the rant. I was a real skeptical one. So, you know, it's been a long time now that we've been seeing this. And, you know, I was a skeptic at first. And I was like, nah, I don't know. Because I thought, you know, we always found marks in the dirt, basically. And we theorized, you know, what would these two lines, you know, mean in some of the hotspot areas. And it seems that in some of the other areas, you see more of the stacking.
Okay. So where you guys found, like, these acorns that are upside, like the one with the upside down, is that in a spot where there are rock stacks already established?
Yes. This area, there's two areas close to each other that I go to every week. Sometimes, I mean, now that it's getting lighter later, I'll be going after work. And I have a feeling that they watch from where, I don't know. They're up in a tree, they're behind a tree, they're further away. Because if I pay attention to a certain rock stack or a certain area, the next time I go back, there's something new around it.
Okay.
I know I sent you a picture where there was a ceramic heart and a circle. I think one said hope and one said peace. And those two items were put in so many different places over the months. And then they disappeared. So it happens with some of the things. They're there for a while. Then they go away, and then all of a sudden they'll be introduced back again into another, you know, rock pile. I find that in the spring they're more active. And some of them are so detailed. Like the rocks are put so perfectly that I always wonder if it's little ones doing it, like smaller ones with smaller hands. You know, maybe
it's a
teaching area. What?
Maybe you have almost what I believe in one of my areas. is, I believe it's a nursery. And
it could be.
Are you familiar with the baby video that came out down there? I'm sure you are.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay, is that down in near your area where that was taken?
No. That was
okay.
over by the Catskills. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, cuz I was going to say, like, if it was over in that area, it would almost make sense that you know, that may be a nursery type area. You know, obviously, maybe that we see that they're more active, like most animals, in the spring, either for, you know, mating reasons, procreating, or maybe they start giving birth around this time of year too. You know, in the areas that, you know, we look in, I have found very small foot tracks that almost look like a young child, but barefoot through the woods,
yeah.
which are amazing. And you can see that they're still different though. The tracks are still different. They're not human like. So maybe that's almost what you may be dealing with.
That's sometimes I feel that, because, like I said, I can't see big hands doing this tiny little stone structures. Some of them are made with a lot of small stones. They're put in a certain way so they all stack up. They have little acorns. They have different color stones. I've noticed that the stones are always either a pretty color or certain shapes. They're always different. They're always a really pretty stone. That's not something you would just see on the ground.
Now,
and
are these areas, are they near? Go ahead.
Now, what were you going to say?
I was like, are these areas that you're in, are they near, like civilization, basically? Is there houses and stuff where you that maybe
right
people
off,
have, like...
They're right on a trail. There's houses scattered about. You can't really see them that much, but they're there. It's on a trail
that
goes...
Yeah, maybe they're taking those... Go ahead.
Yes, they probably stole... I said, uh-oh, somebody's missing something. They probably stole it from somewhere. They probably got it from someone's garden or found
it. Yeah, that's
it
what I was thinking. Maybe they're taking these rocks from people's gardens and stuff like that in the backyard, and then that's how all of a sudden it's ceramics. But ceramics you can find throughout the woods also, especially near water and rivers and things like that. You know, but people have broken ceramic pots. And, so they would have to take a ceramic pot and then break it, and then there's a piece of it, you know?
Right. Right.
That's so interesting. Kenny, what do you think about that?
You know, it's just, I haven't done, you know, like a lot of the gifting, you know, personally myself, but, you know, so I'm actually, you know, really intrigued by this, especially, you know, some of the comments that you made, Diane, about how you go back and the items are still there, you come back another time, they're gone, and then you come back another time, and then they're back. I mean, that's... How do you explain that? I mean, what goes through your mind when you see that?
I just feel that they see that I like it, because, you know, when I look at these things, I take pictures, but I also touch them. I put them right back where they were, and I guess just by me standing there, just admiring it, I mean, I'm like a kid in a candy shop when I see these things, because they're so amazing to me. I mean, people probably walk by them and they don't even pay attention, because you can see them right from the trail. A lot of people have said to me, oh, well, it's probably a person doing it. You know, I've never seen anyone doing it. And like I said, my feeling, it's done at night. It's because I have been there several times late before dark, and then I've been there early in the morning, you know, around 6:30 in the morning, and there's no structures. So they had to be made during the night. And it's so
dark. Right,
yeah,
I mean,
here, I don't know.
The only, you know, crazy people running around in the woods at night are us researchers. Yeah. So it's definitely, definitely wouldn't be people doing that. And again, I mean, if somebody picked something up, you know, and it was a person, I mean, I don't see any reason why they would come back and then bring it back after. I mean, I just don't
right.
see that human nature, you know. Usually, unfortunately, human nature is to see something like that and knock it over and or whatever, or take from it, but not take from it and then go, ah, you know what, maybe I should bring that back. So that's just really, really interesting to me.
Now,
yeah, maybe these things are like really meticulous too. Think about it. Like you say, like, you know, they're putting these acorns and rocks very close, like almost like very delicately down. But let's stop and think about it and let's brainstorm for a second. When we're walking through the woods a lot of times, I've been hit with pebbles as I'm walking through the woods in some of our areas. Like a rock just hits me, and I'm like, well, you know, what could that possibly be? You know what I mean? So I'm curious that maybe these could still be large ones. But yet they're just so meticulous in everything they do. Because think about it. If they're able to hit you with a pebble or a rock when you're walking, no problem, like pinpoint accuracy, like our tech guy Luke, who's on our team, that kid hits everything. Like he could throw anything and hit it. He should play the dart game at the fair. He would end up owning the fair. Like some people are so good like that. So you have, you know, a Squatch that may be so meticulous like that. Maybe they can really – you know, daintily
yeah.
do things like an OCD, like an OCD type thing. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So it just kind of makes you think a little bit. You know what I mean? You know, and now we have to think about, well, who would you be communicating with? Would this be a female or a male? Like, what type of Squatch possibly would be the ones to communicate with us? Because when we think of males in the animal kingdom, we think of territory. We think of those are the alphas in the territory that, you know, a lion. You ain't going to go near a lion. You see a lion, you're like, hell no, I'm not going near no lion. So would they be the males or would they be the females trying to communicate with us? So that's kind of –
I think it's a female.
Yeah.
Female. I think it's a female, probably with little ones.
Yep.
And I think that, like you said, it could be a nursery. Maybe they're learning. Some of the structures are tiny, but they have like a symmetry to them. And I noticed they've used a lot of shells. I mean, I don't know where they get these shells from, probably somebody's yard. And it's always very pleasing to the eye, and some of them are very intricate. I mean, there's one I posted, it had a circle of rocks around it. It had a marble. It had a rock that said, I don't know, rock and roll, I think, that was placed so you could see it. It had the green marble. It had a few other things. I mean, that was really intricate. It's not just, you know, two or three rocks just put together. It's like there, and
yep.
there's one there where I had the spoon and the marbles.
Yep.
I was wondering, I said, you know, I don't know. One day I was just wondering, I wonder where they live. Do they live underground? There's so many mines over 100 years ago that were used in the area. There was a lot of mining. I mean, it's not around now. Who knows where it was even mined. Maybe there's something underground. I said, are they close? Are they up in the mountains and coming down every night? You know, I was just thinking that. And then the next time I came back, it was a structure that to me looked like something you would see in the front of a mine. It was a rock on top, two rocks on the side. It looked like it was a type of home, like in a mountain. So I found that interesting. There were two spoons. They have this thing with these spoons. There's two spoons that were in front, and the first time they made that, there was a picture frame that's been in many, many locations, and that's missing again. So I'm curious to see if that comes back. But they seem to there's a meaning in what they're doing. And I think the more I show interest in it, the more elaborate that they get.
Hey, Diane, let me ask you this question. Without, like, you know, you giving away, like, your area, is obviously you don't want to do that because, you know, there's unfortunately there's some crazy people out there that would do some nutty stuff. I'm originally from Vermont, and there were some art schools that were out in certain areas. And I know that, you know, sometimes they would do projects where they would actually go out by, like, riverbanks and stuff like that and actually build things kind of similar like this. And just to throw this out there, I would check to see if there's any, like, art schools around near you or anything where, you know, maybe potentially, I don't know, again, being from Vermont, we had a lot of art schools, and so I would see stuff like this, but by like riverbanks and stuff, not in the woods. But it something to look into, just to
right.
Maybe answer some questions too, because again, you got to ask yourself, you know, why would somebody do this? And you know, my questions are, why would somebody take something from it and then return it? That doesn't sound like something that somebody would do. But
no.
The more that I was thinking about this and looking at this, it kind of reminds me of, you know, some rock formations, you know, designs that I saw in Vermont by riverbanks and stuff. So that could potentially be what is happening here. Not saying it is, but that's something I, you know, to definitely look into too, because obviously if it is anything like that, you'd want to know, so that way you wouldn't keep going around this if there is something like that going on. So it's just something I just kind of wanted to throw out there.
Right. I have heard of them. I have heard of, you know, I've seen pictures on Facebook of, I mean, beautiful rock creations,
yeah,
by certain artists. But these are, I mean, they're creative, as far as I'm concerned, for a creature, not for a person. They're not.
They're primitive, too.
They're somewhat primitive. They're not. I've seen beautiful rock structures. Like I said, I've seen them on Facebook, and I've seen people build them. I mean, they're really beautiful. But I've been following this for almost 2 years now.
Okay.
And I think if it was someone, I mean, believe me, that I thought many times, could a person be doing this? Could a child be doing this? But it's such a long period of time. And it
agreed. Absolutely. I mean, if this has been going on for a couple of years, yeah, you would have come across some people. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was strange. It's funny. My two sons usually come with me, and we were walking by, and my son Matt said, jokingly, those look like the rock structures they showed on television. And I took a second look. There were a few of them, and I said, yeah, they are odd looking. I assumed somebody made them at that point. So I started going by, checking it, and the more I went there and I looked at them, I took pictures, the more that started to appear.
Mm.
And different items started to appear. And on one picture I sent you, there's on one rock they left clover. Whoever actually sketched a heart on the rock.
Oh yeah, I see that. I'm looking at that one right now.
Yeah. Now that was an odd. I couldn't see a person doing that. I don't know why. I mean, if I was to make something, I'm very creative and I appreciate art. If I was to make something, I wouldn't make something like that. I mean, it's not spectacular by any means, someone just passing by, but it had meaning to me.
Yeah.
Because I've
seen,
I mean,
these all things,
these
are
different
amazing
things.
Yeah, these little structures, I mean, you can see them on the slideshow. They're pretty amazing. So, I mean, it's definitely something. Like, something is messing with these things, and, you know, and they know that you're communicating with them in some way. So they're just, like I say, they're just taking one, putting it back whenever they want, or giving you back something else. So, I mean, the gifting idea has been going on for a long time, and to see it actually in action and working in your area for the past couple of years is simply amazing. Now let's get to the apple. You know, last time we talked about how, you know, you left an apple and a possible squatch bit into the apple. Was that left in the same area where all these cairns and all these rock structures?
Yes, it was right next to, I had a picture there of a tree stump. It's high. It's about 3.5 feet high. And there's always something on that. There's rocks. Sometimes they put a little birdhouse. They put different things. And the one I sent you a picture of, there's a Christmas ornament and a shell. Well, right next to that, there was that apple. I didn't leave it. They left it. Someone left it.
Okay.
It was left there. So I saw it, and I thought it was odd that it was – it looked like it was bitten right in half. I mean, I would think if it was an animal, it would nibble on it, or – but it was bitten in half. And I took a picture. I had asked several people, hunters. I asked my brother, who's a hunter. And they were kind of, you know, I got a feel maybe it's a deer, maybe it, but I looked at deer marks. I went online, I looked at every animal in the area that would make marks on a piece of fruit, and nothing matched up with that. So I told you, my friend said, you know, send it to Dr. Melba Ketchum. And I did. And she wrote back to me that it's definitely a Sasquatch, a big. She said it looks like a big one, not a small one, that she saw the same thing on a peach that she had.
The apple's gone.
The apple's
very cool.
I believe it's gone. It might be buried under leaves, but I never touched it. I didn't know if it was a gift for me. I didn't know what to do with it. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I
think. And down in that neck of the woods.
What?
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes you take things, sometimes you leave them. Yeah.
Sometimes I just leave them there. I just, you know, like the way they look, I'll leave them. Some things I do take. And for some reason, I didn't take the apple. And
so is there orchards in that area? Is there any apple orchards? Or do you think maybe some people in the house put them out for the deer?
There's apple orchards, but it's not that close to me. It's about 5-6 miles away. I mean, you know, it was, they probably could have gotten it from that, or I don't know where. Maybe there's apple trees in somebody's yard, because there's a lot of fruit trees around, and people, you know, a lot of people have the crab apple trees or apple trees, but this was a big apple, and it, like I said, it's
an apple
in half. Now, what I did a couple of weeks later is I put some apples around. I bit into an apple. I bit a piece off, and I left it. It was gone. I mean, I don't know. Maybe another animal could have taken it. I don't know. But I just left it there. And I also wedged one in the V of a tree high up. And I don't think a squirrel or a raccoon or something would have been able to get that out. It was wedged very tight. That was missing.
Okay.
The next time I went back. So that was a gift from me, because they left the apple. And the one gift that I was totally amazed over was that coin. It's a coin of a gorilla and a little baby gorilla with it. And I looked up that coin. It was from 1970 from the Bronx Zoo. That was left on a flat rock. Now, I don't think there would be a person that would have left that for me, because it does look like a Bigfoot in a way. It's very similar looking. And no one knows, other than my two kids, that, you know, that's what I think is making all this. So for that to be left there, I keep that, I carry that with me all the time. For that to be left there was very special to me. That was a special gift, and I did take it.
Yeah, I mean, that picture is amazing. And
yeah, it was left right on the rock. I did leave something then. I left, I had a purple geode, and I left it there the next time I went back. That was gone. So they do take things. I had a few of, I don't know, they're crafty items. It's like a ball of twisted twine or I'm trying to think what it is. Well, I've left several of them, and they're always gone. They're gone the next day. So they appear like them. You know, so
maybe that
I've
coin looks like they think it looks like them. Like say if they
right.
if it's like a gorilla coin, they may be like, well, this is almost they recognize it in that way, which would be absolutely amazing if that's really what it is. And we only have like we only have like 4 minutes left, but real quick, some of our people may ask, like, you know, you have all this activity, you have all these things going on and stuff. So why don't you use trail cameras and things like that to try to document it?
Because they say it scares them away. I don't want to do anything to lose what I have going now.
Yep.
They can sense the trail cam. I had one by my friend's house, and the only time I got some kind of picture, which is really crazy, was when I put it underneath one of the bug lights. They had an old bug light on the tree, so I put it underneath that. And the pictures that I have, I mean, I can see them in it. It's like they look like they're shocked. But other than that, I've never gotten anything with trail cameras. So I in this area, I didn't want to put anything. I did get one footprint in the snow. You know, I just don't want to lose their trust or lose what I have communicating with them.
Yeah, we hear that a lot from a lot of people that, you know, study them, like people that have them on their properties that don't really talk about it. And it's the same, you get the same answer, you know what I mean? They don't put any type of cameras up. They don't want to do anything that's going to interrupt them on change the environment. So it makes total sense why you would have such an interaction, why you wouldn't want to put technology out and you wouldn't really want to document what's going on at that exact time. Because that 2 years of, you know, making that friend, that forming that friendship could basically be flushed right down the toilet in 1 second.
Right, right.
So it
That's
makes total
true.
Sense. Well, Diane, thank you so much again for having your new say. There's always so much to talk about, and you're awesome, and I can't thank you enough for coming back on the show and talking.
Thank you, Kenny,
anytime.
For having me.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thank you. Thank you to you
this
and Michael.
Great. Yeah, I mean, you're the gifting master. You are the gifting master, and, you know, we love hearing about this. And, you know, even, you know, we gift also, and it's like, but your level is beyond. So this is awesome. This is awesome. So thank you so much for coming on. You know, we'll definitely have you back, you know, in the next season.
Oh, I'd
love
to be back.
What else you found. Oh, we love having you guys. You guys are – we're all family, so thank you. And thank you, Michael, for coming back on, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it. Of course. All right. Anytime. All right. Well, you guys have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Kenny, that's pretty awesome, man. Like, I don't even know what – I'm always floored with this whole gifting thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I had mentioned before, you know, I haven't personally myself, you know, done it a whole lot. And just seeing somebody that's you know, been doing it this long and, you know, seeing results and I guess having things happen that you can't necessarily say, yes, it's happening because of this is intriguing. And again, that's what I was talking about earlier about evidence. You know, there's evidence that suggests that what she's doing right now is you know, she's getting gifts from possible Sasquatches. There's evidence
exactly, Angie. And she spoke to Melba Ketchum, and, you know, depending on what your take is on that and her herself, she says that she's seen that before in a peach, and it looks very similar to the bite mark. So we're left with, you know, I mean, this is pretty cool. So this is maybe she's one step closer to, you know, getting something big, you know. So it's pretty awesome. Well, Footer Nation, we're done. The fastest 45 minutes in, you know, Bigfoot Radio. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new witness and guest. We'll be having someone on. This is a local story of a sighting report. It's super local, which is awesome, and it really strikes home for me personally. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with this. But in the meantime, as always, friends, keep it squatchy. Any last group words, Ken?
Oh, just everybody that's going out, just be safe and make sure you take somebody with you.
Deuces, everyone. We'll see you on the trail.
Thank you for listening to the NYBS Radio Show. Tune in next time as we continue our search for Bigfoot right here in the great state of New York. Until next time, friends, keep it squatchy, and we'll see you out on the trail.